Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
1996 was the era of Seinfeld on NBC and Eddie Murphy's Nutty Professor remake at the Multiplex. It was also the year that a small comedy club opened on the third floor of the Hong Kong restaurant in Harvard Square. In the subsequent two decades, the comedy studio has turned undiscovered comedians into name-brand stars.
I'll be out with my grandmother. She'll be like, "Oh, Joshua, look at that lovely Oriental couple. She doesn't mean any harm. She doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings." Every time she makes a mistake like that, I just go, "No, no, 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 Nana. Nowadays, we call those people bloggers." Because she doesn't know what that means, but she'll say it because she loves and trusts me. And she still gets to yell her racist old lady stuff that's just appropriate for public consumption. But she still gets to say, like, "No granddaughter of mine's going to date a lazy blogger."
That was Josh Gondelman, who's a web producer for John Oliver's Last Week Tonight, and he was performing at the Comedy Studio in 2012. He's one of the many comedians who've come through the 75-seat venue, comedians like Eugene Merman, Louis C.K., and Mike Birbiglia. Over the years, it has been not just a launchpad for new talent, but also one of the few comedy clubs in the city to survive. To talk about the venue and the role it's played in the comedy world, we're joined by the founder and owner of the Comedy Studio, Rick Jenkins. Rick, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much, Scott.
So take us back to 1995 and how the club got started.
Well, there was a big comedy boom in the early 90s, and myself and a lot of comedians moved to Boston because there was so much work. By the mid-90s, the whole middle section of talent wasn't making it anymore, and I was in that midsection. So I got a day job at a bookstore, the Harvard Coop, and started doing a Sunday night open mic show because the Hong Kong had a space available. And then a year later, it was going well enough that we added Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, you know, 20 years later, night by night, it's now it's been there.
Well, could you describe the Boston comedy landscape back then and maybe how it's different today? Because 20 years is a long time. We've seen lots of clubs come and go.
Oh, yes. Well, we're in another boom. Back then, you had Stitches, Nick's, the Comedy Connection. You had almost half a dozen full-time rooms inside 128 and dozens of shows outside of 128. Once you get to the mid-90s, those clubs started closing. So you still had the Comedy Connection even is gone. Bill Blumenreich has opened the Wilbur. But Nick's Comedy Stop is still around. Really, it went from being a comedy club where you just went to see a guy who might have been on television to either a showcase with a whole bunch of comedians or one big star you were willing to pay a lot of money to see.
I have to ask you about your suit today.
Oh.
So you're wearing a fantastic sort of tan suit and
a red tie. I always wear a fantastic suit.
Who's your suit by, Rick?
You know what I did? I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and the Johnny Carson collection was made in Buffalo in the 1980s. So now, sort of as a tribute to Johnny Carson and to my hometown, every night at the Comedy Studio, I wear a Johnny Carson polyester suit.
Well, how many do you have?
About three dozen.
Nice. And you always wear them with sneakers.
Well, you know why? Because my high school guidance counselor said, "You're never going to find a job where you can wear sneakers and sleep past 10 a.m. So now I don't get up until 11, and I make sure I wear sneakers.
Proving the guidance counselor wrong.
Yes.
What do you think is different? What's unique about the Comedy Studio compared to other venues? I mean, you climb up these three flights of stairs to get there. It's a pretty intimate room, right?
It's a little intimidating the first time you go there. You think you're being punked or something. Yeah, we're up on the third floor, and there's only 75 seats. There's no pillars or obstructed view or anything. We've been very lucky to have a stable landlord that long, I think, is one of the keys. But we're there because we like putting on the show. Audience members, people come there, are friends as much as they are comedy nerds. And we're really all there for the same thing. It's a really supportive community. And I think that's really been the key, is it's more of a community than – it's not fair. We put on maybe 10 different comedians doing 7 to 10 minutes each. It's a very different vibe than going to a comedy club and seeing that guy. You come to the Comedy Studio. You don't go to that person's show.
Uh-huh. And is there an ethos in terms of who you book, and do you audition people? Are you screening out certain kinds of comics and trying to focus on other kinds?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everybody gets a shot. Having said that, I tend more towards, you know, the writers, the more cerebral acts, the more intelligent. There's really two different guy at Dennett at Tufts came up with the theory that comedy is an evolutionary thing, that as humans, we learn to laugh at a different reality. When you throw a ball to a dog and don't throw it, the dog goes crazy. When a person sees something that's not right, we laugh. And that's the kind of humor I like. A lot of people will do the humor where it's like, oh, aren't we all right? Don't we all believe this thing? And we all agree and we all laugh. I like when you see the world in an entirely different way and you laugh because you go, wow, I never thought of it that way. That's a whole different way of looking at it. That's, to me, that's funny.
So we were able to get in touch with one of the comedians who's come through the comedy studio, Brian Kiley, who is a native of Newton. He's the head monologue writer for Conan O'Brien, who I feel like we're being super local here, is a Brookline native.
Yeah.
Brian, if you're on the line, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Great. I mean, tell us about, you know, when did you first perform at the comedy studio? Was it one of your first gigs? And what's it like to perform there?
No, you know, I started out at the Ding Ho in Cambridge when I was in college, and then I did stand up, you know, just around the Boston area. And actually, I worked a lot at the old Catch a Rising Star in Harvard Square. And when that room died, we were all sad. It had launched a lot of great comics. It had, you know, Jeanine Gruffalo and Mark Heitlinger and David Cross and Mark Maron and Louis C.K. and so on. So Rick opening the comedy studio, he really captured the vibe that we used to have at the Catch a Rising Star, and then he discovered so many comics. So it was just kind of a continuation of that room, I would say.
Do you have any memorable performances that you think about at the comedy studio, whether with memorable good or memorable bad?
Well, the best show I ever had there one time, I came in, and I'd come in from New York, and they put me right on, and it was just a fantastic crowd. I had the best show, but there were these three women in the front row just staring at me. And every once in a while, one would kind of whisper to the other one or whatever. But the rest of the crowd was so good, I didn't want to kind of interrupt the flow and whatever, and I just did my set. And I thought, oh, maybe I offended them or something, and I came off, and Rick came over, and he said, great set. He said, I hope those three women from Germany in the front row didn't throw you.
Nice of him to put them right in the front row. So it's my understanding that, Brian, you convinced one of the senior producers for the Conan O'Brien show to come to the comedy studio and kind of include that as part of their scouting process. Why did you think the studio would be a good place to find the next generation of comedians?
Well, it's funny because there were almost two camps in Boston. In a sense, there were the great club comics who worked in Boston, and then the Cambridge comics just had a different, they were, as Rick said, they were kind of a little more cerebral, a little more creative, a little more out there, and maybe more alternative, and not necessarily, you know, for if you're a tourist in Boston, you'd come in and that might not be your thing. But two of the our producers were coming to scout talent in Boston, and I said, you have to go to the comedy studio. And so they went, and it was became their favorite room in the country. You know, they would travel around, and they were like, this is the best room because it wasn't really club. A lot of club humor is drinking and just dirty stuff, whatever. This was a room that people just did, you know, people would, you know, you're following somebody who's doing a bit on Sigmund Freud, and then the next person is doing a bit about the Hundred Years' War or whatever. It was just more comedy that you just didn't see other places. Yes. And I think they really appreciated that.
Yes. At the time, Brian was working for Conan O'Brien in New York, but flying up to Boston on Friday, spending the weekend with his family, flying back Monday. So he would come in Sunday night, try out new material at the comedy studio, then go back to work and say, you won't believe the stuff I saw down there. Uh-huh. You have to go see it. So Brian was really a good friend and a real key to us getting some national attention.
We're talking about the comedy studio in Harvard Square. I feel like I need to mention that it is literally across the street from Harvard University, mm-hmm. so that thus the sort of brainier audiences.
Well, I'm not sure the Hong Kong is known for brainy audiences, but the comedy studio is.
We're talking with Rick Jenkins, the comedian and owner of the comedy studio, and Brian Kiley, comedian, novelist, and head monologue writer for Conan O'Brien. Brian, before we let you go, who are some of the notable comics that came to the Conan O'Brien show from the comedy studio?
Well, Eugene Merman, for one, and I think Matt Donaher. and Rick will have to help me out with some of these other names.
Oh, yeah.
I think Josh
Gondelman,
right?
Jenny Zagrino.
Yeah, Jenny Zagrino, that's right. So it's just such a... I do think creativity happens in groups, and this is like sort of, you know, Paris in the 20s or something. Just the vibe that Rick has created at the Comedy Studio is just really... There's a lot of diversity. It's just such unique humor there that you just don't see other places.
Rick, I want to ask you, Brian mentioned the Ding Ho, which I think only lasted for 4 or 5 years and was one of these iconic comedy clubs that Dennis Leary and others used to play at. What's the connection between comedy clubs and Chinese restaurants?
Well, my theory is it's simply that most Chinese restaurants are small mom and pop small businesses that are willing to try something. And so, you know, once in a while they get lucky. You know, and karaoke works or comedy works. And in my case, it was just, you know, we never did great at the beginning, but we are always moving up a little bit. Each night would be a little bit more. So now we're at the point of doing well. And as Brian mentioned, I also want to mention, for us, diversity is a big thing. I want to see different points of view. So we have a lot of tourists, a lot of people from all over the world. Our mailing list is as big in China as it is in Florida.
Can you tell us real quickly about, Rick, your best night ever or maybe your worst night ever at the club?
Well, it's probably the same night. we had one night, Eugene Merman and Brendan Small were roommates and couldn't decide who should wash the dishes. So they played Tank Commander on television as their show. Now I look back, that was wonderful. Back then, I thought it was the worst show ever.
Rick Jenkins is the owner of the Comedy Studio in Cambridge. For information on tonight's The Studio Show and other acts coming through, go to our website, radioboston.org. Brian Kiley is a comedian, novelist, and head monologue writer for Conan O'Brien. Thank you, Brian.
And he will be at the Comedy Studio August 21st.
All right, we got that plug in. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Scott Kirshner. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.